This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
After a 4-0 hammering away in the Champions League and facing Central Coast Mariners at home. But the victory made surprisingly hard work of Alan Stajic's new team yesterday night. This is the For Vuck's Sake show live here on FNR Football Nation Radio. If you've never listened to us before, this is the show where we discuss all things victory. I'm Josh Parrish alongside Buds and Rudy Edsel in the studio tonight. Welcome, fellas.
Good evening.
G'day.
And what did we make of last night's performance? A controversial penalty to Matt Simon brought them back into the game, but eventually victory got the job done.
It was the performance I kind of expected. I don't ever think that we do exceptionally well on Sunday afternoon games, and I seem to always think that we underestimate the opposition, but we got the 3 points, and that's what counts. So it's as positive as I can be with what I expected.
Yeah, I'm happy with the 3 points. I'll put it that way. Would have been nice to have scored a few more and not had to worry about how dodgy the Matt Simon pen was. Probably should have been, 3 or 4 up at halftime.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, when the first goal went in, it was kind of like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, not so much.
I thought it was a good performance. Just the lack of cutting edge in front of goal, the decision-making was a bit off. Maybe continental hangover. I don't know what you put it down to exactly. But then Central Coast started to dig in. You thought maybe this is not going to go our way. Thankfully for big Georg Niedermeyer, we got the winning goal after interesting set-piece variation. And in honour of Georg, I believe we're going with a German music theme today, guys.
I believe so.
Pay him his dues.
Yeah,
I've potted him a couple of times, but he's actually pretty good.
I think that might be his last crowning achievement with us. I hope it's not, but why not? Why not pay homage to the big man?
He provided he showed some impressive dexterity getting his leg up that high. I didn't know he could actually move like that.
Did he cop Ola in the face?
He almost did. Ola dodged out of the way pretty quickly. I think he probably would have tucked it in if not for Georg. And Georg looked as surprised as anybody to be scoring the goal. But, yeah, we've panned him all season long. Gets an important winning strike for us against Central Coast. It keeps us just within touching distance of second place with Sydney still to play Perth. So very, very crucial victory. We're going to take a short break, come back with a comprehensive review of the away performance against Guangzhou and Central Coast Mariners. Much, much more still to come, so stay with us here on For Vuck's Sake.
The Temple Brewhouse in Brunswick East, home of the award-winning bicycle beer. Temple's amazing beer is all brewed on site in the amazing brewhouse in Brunswick East. Their team of experienced and skilled brewers work hard to ensure that you enjoy every mouthful of delicious craft beer. It doesn't get much fresher than this. Your beer's brewed footsteps from where you're enjoying it. The bar, restaurant and function space big enough for 100 people ensures you can enjoy a comfy experience for any occasion. Visit the team at 122 Western Street, Brunswick East, and give them a follow on Instagram at Temple Brewing. Call up tonight on the magic number and best caller gets a six-pack of wonderful bicycle beer.
The magic number being 9944999, pretty easy to remember. 03 in front of that if you're outside of Victoria. If you're listening or watching from abroad, +613 is the number to call. Then that's 9944999. Don't be shy, Vuck fans, get involved. And guys, in honour of victory, really saving their best performances for under the bright lights and not on Sunday afternoons. We've gone with some pretty bright lights here in the studio, well lit for the first time. I think people are finally seeing your beautiful faces.
Yeah, we got the mics down. I had a bit of I'm lucky you said that because everyone keeps telling me and it means people are watching.
Yeah,
I can't good. See. I can't see. Yeah. So
we've got Callum coming through on the Facebook Live comments saying, "Whoa, that's what they look like." I'm not sure if that's a good surprise or an unwelcome one. Yeah.
I'm used to being well lit personally.
You're just a sunny personality, Rudy. But starting off with, I guess, the downer of Wednesday night's 4-0 loss away to Guangzhou, nearly 38,000 in attendance at Tianhe Stadium. I guess they care about the competition more in China, or maybe just it's law of averages with population. I'm not sure. But they certainly have a decent team that they come to watch. Anderson Talisca looks like, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, the best player in Asia, maybe.
You made that call, and I can't argue with it. And we said he was the one to watch. His second goal was just, I kept watching, but I just went to bed after that.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I was just like, nah, this is ridiculous. I made the call last week on last week's pod that we were going to be 3-0 down by 17 minutes. Well, I was only out by about 20 minutes.
Mm.
They smashed us.
Yeah, I was the same as you. I was in the pub, and Talisca put that second goal in, and I put my pint down and went home. Nah.
Didn't even stay to finish the pint.
Well, no, I finished the pint.
All right.
Like I said, well lit. And but, yeah, he did look like the best player in the world briefly there. I guess when you're that good and you're playing against Corey Brown, then you basically have license to do what you want. But, it really did look like it. The 10 minutes when he scored that absolute worldie, it was like, oh, dear, this could be one of the worst nights in the history of the club.
Yeah.
I get so deflated, man. I get so excited for this tournament. And even when we're out, like just before, like they're those Tuesday or Wednesday nights where even when it's not your team playing, I still get really amped by the Asian Champions League. Mm. I think there is a level of prestige to it. I think it's the whole point of striving to do better in the A-League without winning the league. I get so bummed out. I don't know what it is. I think there was some choice words from our captain saying some things after the game regarding tactics. I just don't think Kevin Muscat has truly grasped how to play in Asia or how to win or just get a point in Asia.
Yeah.
Like it's embarrassing now. It's embarrassment levels for this club. The performances we're churning out. I'm pretty upset.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I'm probably a little bit more apathetic towards it because it feels it's kind of like watching the European Champions League when your team somehow fluked their way into Europa League or something, and you go, it just feels like a rich person's plaything. Almost like it doesn't feel like an attainable goal to me as a Melbourne Victory fan. Like I know obviously the Wanderers won it 5 years
ago. That's like Leicester winning the Premier League. That's such an outlier. They were so lucky as well over the course of that. I mean, look at the final. They had about 5 penalties that could have been awarded against them. You know, of course, it was a superb effort to get that far, but also they had a run of fortune in that competition. It's just been unbelievable.
But it's not just that. Like you turn up, you know, Guangzhou Evergrande, Anderson Talisca looks like the best player in Asia. Like some of the other clubs have like Hulk and Oscar playing for them. Mm. And you're like, you know, this feels like a fantasy. It feels like one of those, like the card teams in FIFA, whatever they're
Ultimate
called.
Ultimate team.
Seriously, that's kind of what it feels like. And you go, well, this is literally like a fantasy world for these clubs. You know, we've got to we've got to play Lee Broxham in one of the the back four, or we've got to bring on Corey Brown, or you know, it's just kind of like, well, what's realistically, what's our goal with this?
I just want to win a game.
Yeah, a game away. An away win would be nice.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want from now. It's small steps. I was pretty stoked a couple of years ago when we made it through, but now it's to the point I just want to win a game and not away from home.
I think
because and you've said it yourself, some of these Asian sides, they play B teams when they come to Australia and they don't take coming to Australia seriously. And we've seen that when we've knocked off Guangzhou before, we've knocked off SIPG, and they've got all those players that you rattled off before, like they're the powerhouse teams. They're the teams that were making the English club shudder with their transfer fees 18 months ago. So we've done it here, but we just need to do it there. And I'm talking like we've done, I think, 6 campaigns now. Like, we can't even beat teams in Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, we just have never been able to grasp it, and it's frustrating.
Who was the mob we went to first time round, and they had, the fella that ended up playing for
Nate Fabiano.
Yeah. What team was that? Bangkok, like Chonburi or something?
Yeah, Chonburi FC. Yeah.
It's like ever since then, and we've like, I kind of feel like we look so naive in Asia because we go to Boss and like we can't do that. We've always, you know, we're Melbourne Victory. You know, we'll Boss. We'll be arrogant. We'll push the play. You can't do that against Guangzhou Evergrande. You can't do it.
No, and that's what frustrates me the most is that they didn't seem to have a tactical plan to deal with Anderson Talisca before the game. And surely they've got access to all the scouting materials. They can watch the games. They can prepare for these things. They would have known about him because he's scoring goals left, right and centre. It's not as if he's some under-the-radar player in China. And yet we were playing our diamond formation with no width to it. The fullbacks were completely isolated against Gao Lin, who's one of the best players in the Chinese team, just behind Wu Lei, who's just gone to Espanyol. And then the other side, obviously, Anderson Talisca. Corey Brown is putting no pressure on the ball. He's letting him run at him from 15, 20 yards, letting him pick it up without actually contesting it. And we've got no help on that flank. Lee Broxham, you know, he was tucked inside in that central midfield role. Kevin Muscat actually did change the formation at halftime and went into five in midfield. Not that you guys would have seen it.
I kept watching.
But he did adapt, but it was too late. And
yeah, we were 3-0 down at that point.
And obviously they've got great individual talent. And, you know, you write off, you know, a narrow defeat as honourable. But a performance like that going away from home to one of the best teams in Asia, the best team in China, and setting out your stall in that fashion is just completely naive and ridiculous. And it led to one of the worst defeats the club has ever seen.
Yeah, well, sorry, Buds, go.
No, that's all right. What I was going to say was we can't handle Brazilians. No. So if there's a Brazilian that is from the third division that a K-League team got and they're in K-League 2, and they've come up and they've in Champions League now, they destroy us and we make them look like the world's best player. We don't seem to actually pick up on the fact that there's some really good players in these teams. Like last year, who was the Korean team we played the first game at? It was 3-3. And we knew and we'd had it. Ryan Walters had earmarked this guy, Mislav Orsic, the Croatian guy. And he came and he tore us a new one. And no one stood within 5 yards of him. I felt like that the other night as well. It's every time there's a really good player of European pedigree.
That was all signed Hyundai, by the way.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. It's like, we're naive. I don't get it. I'm upset.
Like, we look like a pub team when we go away to Asia, and it's really like we should be. Like Simon Hill is big on Melbourne Victory being the only team in the A-League that takes its responsibilities as a big club seriously. I'd like it if we took that responsibility a bit more seriously when we go overseas.
Yeah, we took it on the field.
Yeah.
And we're wasting Honda. We've done it. We've wasted it. We've wasted the season. We've wasted the campaign.
Yeah, well, we didn't even take a full bench.
No.
In the end.
I mean, the gains from that are marginal, I suppose, but it shows that the club had kind of written it off after two defeats in the first two games, that you weren't willing to go to the extra effort of getting Jai Ingham and Rahmat Akbari, probably would have been the two, on the plane after Terry Antonis went down.
And so, we took three keepers.
Yeah, and Lawrence Thomas actually on the victory graphic, not on the official team sheet, but before on Twitter they named two keepers on the bench. Which I've never seen before. I don't think that was the official on the official sheet, but it looked amateurish, the whole thing.
I tell you one thing I do genuinely love about the ACL, though, is that you always find out blokes' real names because, you know, they go by the anglicised version.
Yeah, there was Ken Jock and there was...
Left Terrace.
Yeah, the first ever one was when Billy Selesky was Blagoya.
One of my absolute favourite ones. And Tomislav Pondoljak as well.
Blagoya playing at Melbourne Rectangular Stadium.
Toivonen's first name is Nils, apparently. Nils.
Yeah,
Nils
I saw Toivonen. That.
Yeah. There you go. So
love it. It's even more Swedish than we could have imagined. I think we'll leave it there for Guangzhou because they're just going to get angrier and angrier when we talk about it. But yes, 4-0, and we have to play them again tomorrow night. I'm sure that will go great. Central Coast Mariners yesterday at home. 2-1 win, 16,000 just over in attendance. Georg Niedermeyer scoring the winner and keeping us just in touching distance in second place. So really important 3 points.
Yeah, massive 3 points, really. I mean, as big as 3 points against CCM at home gets. I think you said last week Buds have been 6 years or something.
Yeah, streak continues.
Yeah, so it's as good as, it's as good as a done thing every time. But it actually very meaningful to pull that out. We could have really dropped our heads with that, the sort of like dodgy pen call, if you will, and the 1-1, and then they got a foothold and you're like, I've seen this script before. But then we came to still get the 3 points, I think, was it was meritorious.
good crowd.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, 16,000.
And a good atmosphere, it sounded like. I didn't make it to the game, but on TV it came through. It was a really good atmosphere in the stadium.
I think a lot of punters were a bit upset they didn't see Carl. Carl was the man of the week and then was nowhere. Club paying funny buggers again.
Yeah, let's get into this. Carl Valeri announcing his retirement in press conference on Friday. So I think we saw it coming. You called it in the chat when they announced that they were going to have a press conference, Buds. And I think probably the right time for me. I'm just glad that he's able to end his career on his own terms when it looked like that mystery brain swelling illness was going to take that opportunity away from him.
Yeah. If you're a conspiracy theorist, you'd sort of think, you know how Carl sort of gave a veiled potting to Kev's Asian tactics after the game, then retired, then didn't feature.
His interview at the end of the Guangzhou game with the Chinese reporter was really like quite scathing. He said our style clashes, and he was very openly saying we had the wrong approach, and it's frustrating. So he said he'd made his decision 3 weeks ago or something, but I wonder if, you know, that 4-0 loss away from home in China just pushed him over the edge a little bit and really confirmed what he was maybe toying with in his mind, that I have to step away from this game, because it seemed like fairly hastily organized.
Definitely very hastily organized. I think you're right there. I think this is something that he would have thought about, and they maybe would have announced in the finals campaign or at the end of the season. I think the other night might have just pushed him over the edge, and he didn't want to bear that frustration, and it was just a relief to get it off his shoulders. It was a few too many coincidences with that one, I think.
Yeah. Well, we sort of, I know there's been a bit of chat that maybe Carl is a bit of a plotter, perhaps at this level. You make an argument. I think that's an unfair read on him. I think the main thing that he does bring, though, is like ultra competitiveness, but also a bit of like shrewdness, street smarts. He's astute. He can read a game. He can sort of he's tactically astute. He effectively functions as a manager on the pitch, like a coach on the pitch. So I imagine that getting thrashed 4-0 in a game where the tactics aren't working is probably as brutal as it could possibly be for a bloke like Carl. Like, sometimes you have to hold your hand up and go, yeah, we've just been outclassed by a better team, as we were so many times by Sydney while Arnie was up there. But to go down like that way, as we've sort of said naively, I think maybe for Carl, maybe that does burn him a bit, and maybe it was kind of to the point where he's like, all right, let's just end this now so we can get it out in the open and move on.
I think we will miss him, and I think you saw it even on Sunday with Baena playing in that position. He offers so many different things, and I really like Baena, but consistently failing to track players and doesn't have the same defensive instincts. That late shot from Stefan Mallin that forced an amazing save out of Matt Acton was kind of Baena's fault. I mean, he sidestepped, who was it that came on off the bench? Lesiotis.
Yeah.
And Baena didn't have the quick read on the situation to actually step into his path and block the left-footed shot, whereas I think Valeri would have done that in a heartbeat. So there's these little 1%, these little details that he always brings week in, week out that helps the side defensively. Obviously, in possession, he's a limited player, and, you know, he used to be called Mini Vinny was his nickname. He actually ended up getting more Socceroos caps by a long way than Vince Grella. Yeah. But he's an anchor, a very, you know, limited player technically. But in terms of, you know, the art of pace that's up in your head, he had an elite read on the game and elite mentality.
He has leadership. You can't teach that.
You go if you doubt Carl Valeri's leadership and his ability to lead a team and to organise and to be disciplined and to win the big matches, watch the entire Melbourne Victory final series from last season.
Mm-hmm. And,
incredible.
And the behind the scenes doco.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Watch that.
Visualise 90 minutes, Carl.
We had a bit of a down patch in the season when he was injured. He wasn't featured much, and I think he's going to be really badly missed. And especially when you got guys like Deng and Corey Brown on the flanks that can, you know, they don't track back, they can run, they'll be out of position. He's the kind of guy that's like yelling and pointing and getting them back. So,
yeah,
I think it'd be interesting to see who will be our next captain.
Well,
has to be Lee Broxham, doesn't it?
You'd surely think so. He normally takes the armband when he can. No Lawrence Thomas as well. He hasn't featured for some time now. Laurie, and there's not really any word out of the club of...
They've been saying it's the knee injury he picked up, I think...
In training ahead of the Sydney game.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm. And he travelled to Guangzhou, but I don't know. Do we believe it? Because the club tends to spin this stuff a lot.
Well, you never know how injured a bloke is.
Mm.
Say there's something going on behind the scenes and we don't see him after this season. How are you feeling with Matt Acton?
I like him. I think he's not on Loz's level. He's not on Thomas's level by a long way. Thomas has this sort of aura about him that he can come up in these big games and make unbelievable stops, especially the kind of close range reflex stuff that he comes up with, off crosses and things. Matt Acton is a very serviceable A-League keeper, one of the best backups in the competition, I would say. Judging by his performances, he was great against Sydney, he was great again against Central Coast, and unlucky not to earn votes. It wasn't just the save off Malin, it was also the palming away of that deflected cross that was nearly right on Matt Simon's forehead yesterday. So in many ways, saved a couple of points for the Vuk. I'd be very comfortable with him continuing as number one next season. I mean, we've heard rumours about, was it Birigidi?
Birigidi, yeah.
If coming across from City due to his Instagram behaviour. but I think we probably started those rumours, actually.
Yeah, we did. 100% us.
Yeah. But if the club wants to save some cap, and I think Acton, and spend it elsewhere, maybe in the fullback position.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my point. I'd definitely see him. He'd be a seamless transition to number one. He's 26 now, so as a keeper, he's probably starting to hit his stride.
He looks a bit like Lawrence Thomas.
He's big enough. I think he's good enough. I think he just needs a bit more development. So, I mean, we were saying these same things about Lawrence Thomas 4 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Well,
so.
You remember when Lawrence first came into the side, did an incredible job in that final series, and then the club went out and got Denny Vukovic. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Correct. And I think that's probably more likely what will happen with Acton here is that we'll get a good look at him. Kev will go, he's probably good enough to be number one, but if we can get... Mark Birigidi type, then he's also good enough to be number two. And I think that's probably more likely what will happen here. Have another crack at a keeper that is going to be not just A-League quality, but good at this level.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen. But, if the club wanted to reimagine how they're spending some of this money, it stretches pretty thin across the whole squad when you've got so many big names, especially in the midfield and forward line. I don't think it would be a terrible call to say Matt Acton, you're our number one goalkeeper. Obviously doesn't have the same force of personality that Lawrence Thomas has, but I don't think there are many keepers going around who do. He's such a great just lad, essentially, around the group. It seems like he's kind of a carefree attitude. He's contagious, and he's a leader in his own kind of way. Yep. So... he'll be missed if he does depart, and there's no suggestion from the club that he will. But, seeing the interest that we heard about from Japan, the way he's been left out of the team a few times this season, it seems like something's boiling below the surface. And if he does get an overseas offer, I wouldn't begrudge him at all.
Oh, if he went, I'd be thrilled for him.
He's a championship player, legend for that Newcastle grand final performance alone and many other games aside from that. So, best of luck if he does leave. If he can stick around, then 100%.
Even better, yeah.
Even better.
Speaking about the bottom end of the wage bracket in Acton and the guys that didn't play, how about the top end of the bracket that did play? I reckon that was the worst performance I've seen from Honda in this shirt.
He wasn't great.
He's starting to look a bit disinterested and frustrated.
Well, are you saying his performances are becoming moribund and stale and stagnant, like a certain league we might be participating in?
No, I think he needs to start. He needs to start banging in the scorches.
Yeah,
I haven't seen one. Like
he had one great shot that was saved by Kennedy. It dipped pretty sharply.
I saw him in the videos from his time in Mexico. He scored some belters.
Mm.
I don't think he's really come that close with anything here. He needs to get people out of their seats. And I don't know whether it's we're deploying him in the wrong position. Excuse me, but we need something soon. That's all the home games are done.
Have we seen him at all in the number 10 role?
Barely. Yeah. And I think that's the main concern for me. We raised it at the start of the season, Troisi playing there ahead of Honda, and Honda's made the best of it. But you see, every time he drifts closer to goal, he makes things happen with his passing, especially. Hasn't banged in, that many, or any screamers, really. We haven't seen any belting free kicks from him. That's been mostly Toivonen's territory, which is a big shame. And I think if he was to be deployed closer to goal, he'd be more effective and you'd see more of him in front of goal and he'd be scoring a lot more. But unfortunately, the situation that and then the system that Kev set up seems to suggest that he'll continue with it and he doesn't really divert from his thinking on a topic very readily. He's pretty stubborn, as we've said in the past.
I actually get the feeling Honda's enjoying playing the withdrawn role, like the sort of Pirlo type, you know, picking apart from the back. So I don't know. I don't know who does Honda sort of tell Kev where he wants to play or the other way around. I don't know. Maybe Honda. I get the feeling Honda's the kind of guy that makes you feel like it was your idea. You know what I mean?
Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah. So I kind of I'm not worried about Honda. I agree it was probably his worst performance of the season, but we did come back from China like a couple of days earlier.
That's true. And I think the hangover was there for all to see. What about the penalty? I am still looking for the contact. Apparently, according to one Andy Harper on the co-commentary, it's a clear and obvious and clear-cut decision that Thomas Deng clipped Matt Simon's trailing leg. That's what I assumed when I saw it at full speed. I thought that's a cut-and-dry penalty. But then when you look at the replay, he looks quite a long way away from even touching Simon. And I'm yet to find a compelling angle to suggest that Deng actually did make any contact, and regardless of which, he was subbed.
Friend of the show, Beanhead, who stands where we do, right at the back of Amy Park, up the top, said from the other end of the ground where it was that he could see a definite contact. There are people on the For Fuck's Sake forum who are pleading that it was 100% penalty and they're... I'm still yet to see any conclusive evidence.
I really did not think it was a penalty. I came out hard on Twitter and I was saying, what do we even have VAR for if they don't overturn that? I probably cooled on that a little bit. I can understand if the penalty is given, you can't really overturn it based on that. The point that I'm sort of warming to is Jace in our group chat said Deng didn't appeal. He knew he clipped him. So... I don't know.
He gave it one of these ones, but everybody does that, I suppose. Yeah, also, Deng's personality is that he's not pretty unconfrontational, I would have thought.
Yeah. I never see him running after the ref.
No, he probably did say something to the ref, just was a bit more low-key about it. But I think that's just Deng, to be honest. I'm not sure I'd draw any conclusions from that. Regardless of which, it didn't matter in the end. I thought it was a poor decision. Chris Beath, why is he an A-League referee?
Simon doing these ones. Oh, yeah, I hate it so much. He's such a squib. Oh.
He's like the height of everything that I cringe at with regard to Australian culture can be boiled down to Matt Simon as a human being.
Yeah, I'm feeling you on that one.
I have a lot of affection for Matt Simon.
Oh, come on,
your podcast probably wouldn't exist without
exactly.
Simon.
Exactly. I like the lulls that he brings, but when he does it against your team, you're like, ooh, that guy.
Like, oh, it burns.
It does, yeah. Junkyard when he's running towards your fans, giving the Sharkers, you're like, oh, you.
get in the bin. Set piece variation is something I wanted to bring up. It's been a feature this season. We've bemoaned the lack of creativity with corners and free kicks in the past, but ended up scoring off quite a neat routine, the chip over to Costa. And I don't know if it worked out exactly as it would on the training ground, but it went in the net. And then we had that interesting short one away to Brisbane as well, to name a couple. Yep. I think, judging by especially the Brisbane away game and the way they were congratulating Carlos Perez Salvashua on the sideline after that routine, I think it might be down to his influence because the assistant coach usually has the control over the set pieces.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Every time I watch the new set pieces, I think back to last season with, you know, Costa Barbarossa's just floating balls into the middle of nowhere whenever Leroy George was out. But also I think back to them all getting around Carlos at that Brisbane away game with that really hilarious goal.
Yeah.
That really hilarious routine, and I think it has to be him. It has to be him. But it makes so much sense that all of a sudden we're just looking a lot more like nippy in those set plays as soon as he's come in. Like, it helps having Honda, who's obviously a genius. But I think it's come from the training ground.
Yeah, and it's good to see because for so long we haven't made the most of those situations. And Honda...
We were a team that barely win a header.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never. So it's been great.
Fantastic. And just to wrap up, second place still up for grabs. But Perth have already done wrapped up the Premier's plate, so they're probably not going to play a full strength team against Sydney. So it might reduce the chances of a week off.
Yeah, I reckon there's. I reckon there's a massive chance Sydney win that game to wrap up the. It's often in sport, you often find the team with something to play for beats the team with nothing to play for.
And Tommy Popovich is a fan of mass rotations as well, given his game plan is pretty hectic on the legs.
You'll see a few names you've never heard of on Thursday night, I think.
Maybe even Jacob Italiano might get a run. He's been invisible all season. Max Steele, balls of steel votes, please, buds.
3 for Cam Sober, 2 for Baena, 1 for Jorg.
Yeah, Cam Sober's excellent. Display. I was a little bit sad he got subbed because I thought that was the best chance he was going to get all season with a start and to score a goal because he got into so many promising positions and he's been a revelation. I thought he was excellent when he came off the bench against Guangzhou, even when the game was already over with.
Yeah, well, his composure to give back to Toivonen on the first goal was like elite, really, for this level. To be able to calmly think that through instead of blazing away, especially when you haven't got a goal. That's a pretty special mindset. So good on him.
So that leaves the standings at Honda in the lead with 23 votes. Troisi and Ola on 18, Costa on 16, Antonis on 15, and Lawrence Thomas, who still hasn't gone on the pitch in the last couple of games, on 13 votes. We'll take a short break and come back with an Akasuke Honda Instagram update and a look around the league, including some A-League transfer news.
Parade Creative is a Melbourne-based studio that produces simple, clever design solutions done with a high level of care and sophistication. Specialising in brand identity development and redevelopment, campaign art direction, typography, illustration and digital, Royal Parade offers a lot of services you'd expect from a large agency without the large agency price tag. So if you need a new club badge, billboard, corporate logo, bar menu, or you're looking to get elected to federal parliament, get in touch and find out how Royal Parade can make it happen. Mention FVS for a 10% discount on your first design project. Brand art design thinking, royalpde.com. That federal election thing was an ad lib, by the way. I'm not sure if they do federal election
but they could.
Branding, but they probably could.
Wayne could sort you out.
Just ask royalpde.com, you know.
I think you'll take take cash for those ones.
Buds, please give us the latest iconic hashtag game of the last week.
I got a bit excited by this one. Hashtag back home. He refers to Melbourne as home. Can we read into that? Now, hashtag OOTD. I'm going to go all Dave on that one and say, I have no idea what that one means.
OOTD.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've seen it before, but I don't actually know what it means. I'm sure
somebody
younger than us.
So he's rolling with white jacket, trademark suspenders, as is customary.
Outfit of the day.
Rudy gets the six pack.
Take a six pack home, Rudy. no socks and loafers, very expensive looking loafers too. I know what stairs these are. He always does a shoot on these stairs. These are the ones that come from Rod Laver Arena and the Tennis Centre over to Swan Street when you walk across Swan Street in there.
Must be good lighting.
Check out this one. This is outrageous. It's just the Cheshire Cat grin, hand in pocket. he knows he's the man.
Yeah, that's literally like K-pop boy band sort of gear, isn't it? He takes the piss on this.
Tivoli Arcade in the city runs from Little Bourke and Bourke. It's a whole bunch of cool. It's where B-boys used to hang at night time when it got shut down.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of hairdressers and that in there, and they've got a specialized one that says Japan. K-pop or Japanese treatment, $35. So I think it's this haircut.
There you go.
K-pop boy band one. So then next one we've got really, really good workout video. This is serious. This is some Gold's Gym type stuff here. He is doing some outrageous, heinous push-ups.
Oh, wow. That's some acrobatics. I can't even
his
really
definition
process
is
where
ridiculous.
He's...
Yeah, I don't understand how that works.
a little good habit makes you strong. Hashtag workout. Hashtag keep on.
That's excellent. Yeah. Kosuke Honda always delivering the inspirational.
10 awesome picks from the Guangzhou game.
Even made that look palatable.
Unbelievable. And his minion is always getting shots of people with the Honda kit. I reckon he's giving them out.
Oh, well, that's fine.
That's great.
four young kids in China with Honda kits. They're definitely not knocking them off because I've asked people in China to make me knock off Vuck kits and they won't do it. They won't do it. And then he's got 10 from the last home game of the year. And as is customary, there's people with Honda kits all over the place. So someone's making some good Skrilla off those ones. So he's waving to the crowd. That looks like a good bye wave.
They should.
It does, doesn't it?
It looks like a...
But then he also called Melbourne home.
They should consult him for, like, advertising for the league going forward. He's literally ahead of the game, like, the entire...
He keeps saying he lives in year 3000.
Yeah.
Hey, let him do the marketing for the league.
The league's marketing managers be Keisuke Honda and Jaden Smith?
Yeah.
Wow. Because we absolutely did no marketing for him. So let him do us a solid.
The new
again.
Finals out is all right, actually. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Nah. It's just come out today. It's pretty. It's exactly what you expect, but yeah, there's a good atmosphere about it. I think they went for a really blokey kind of AFL Lee kind of voiceover, which I'm not crazy about, but you know, whatever. Yeah. I guess that's a Fox Sports audience that they're marketing to.
Oh, so it's a Fox Sports ad?
I believe it is, but I don't know if it's made by the league or Fox, maybe in conjunction.
Before we move on, Joey Lynch has commented on the video saying that Valeri actually told the squad ahead of the China game. He said that in his presser, apparently, that he was going to retire.
Yeah, right. So our rampant speculation again dismissed by a reputable journalist.
Wow.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, thanks, Joey.
Perth Glory have wrapped up the Premier's plate. Does this have any relevance or significance in Australian context?
Yes, it does. I think it's... We get caught up in being Australian and, you know, the Australian sporting landscape doesn't care about it. But this is still football and we do care about it. And it's a proper piece of silverware. And I certainly count the Premier's plates when I'm talking about Melbourne Victory.
Do you know they didn't even give out medals for it until last year?
Ugh, boy.
And they haven't done retrospective medals?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean...
See, yeah. I put that in the run sheet because I just... I find that... Premiership, championship, which one has more relevance, especially when the championship can be won by a team that didn't even finish top four. I struggle with it a little bit. I don't want to put it in the bin yet, but it's just another little quirky thing of our league. It's just one of these A-League things.
I think you need the final series because otherwise the half the season wouldn't have any relevance for half the
teams.
We need finals. It sorely, and that in itself devalues the premiership because having a grand final, I mean, until we have promotion and relegation, we can't even think about getting rid of the finals, and even then I'd probably still keep them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get all the soccer Twitter purists at me, but I don't remember Premier's plates. I have to go back and look them up on Wikipedia. I remember grand final wins, though.
Yeah, that is very fair. But I mean,
for other teams, for Victory, you know.
And when we're boasting about doubles and we win doubles, you won it there. But that's about it. That's as far as it goes. I'm still
clinging on. I mean,
it should have more relevance than it does, but I don't think it resonates with the Australians and the A-League following fan base. Maybe, you know, for old soccer types, but they won't be following the A-League anyway.
Well, yeah.
No way.
That's the thing. And also the NSL always had finals.
Yeah.
It's not like it's some, like, plastic franchise invention of 2005 onwards. This is something that's been part of Australian football.
Not like we've invented a grand final to have a presets concert.
For decades. Not the presets.
Yeah.
I remember when they played at the then Telstra Dome and broke half of the speakers during their first song. It was one of the worst audio setups I've ever seen in my life. It was great A-League moments. I think that was 2009.
It certainly was.
I can't believe you remember the name of that group. Sydney Derby, Draw, Bound Your Hand.
That's one of the great Australian albums of all time, Apocalypse, eh?
Oh, I'd never listened to it.
I thought the name of the band was quite apt because when I saw them play live at the grand final, the guy was literally just pressing a box with buttons on it that had the preset loops on it. He wasn't really playing any instruments. Anyway, we'll leave that there. Bow Me Hand did us a massive solid, giving Western Sydney a point in the derby. They should have won. They had way more chances. Ex-Melbourne Victory favourite Giancarlo Gallofuoco dominating the game off the bench.
Oh, he's at it again.
Yes.
So you know about our relationship with Gian?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. He's at it again. Oh, I forget. Jason sent us something.
He sent us that through.
What's he doing? Hey,
sponsored meals, wasn't it?
Sponsored meals. He's getting a free feed again.
Yeah. Good on him, I say.
Giancarlo.
He can squeeze free stuff out of the talent he's got.
I think we should send him a Bertocchi ham from FNR just as a thank you for all the good work he's doing.
At macros.com.au, he's super excited to partner up with Macros, who deliver high performance and delicious meals made to sculpt, maintain or gain healthy lean muscle. Thanks, guys. Awesome. He is back at it. I actually like Giancarlo. I miss him. I actually thought he left a bit too early. I don't think he ever got a fair go. Did you like Tarek Elrich's
nice entree?
we should just do a show about A-League players and Instagram.
We effectively have just done this. I pretty much just stomped all over. what poor old Josh was saying about the actual games.
That's that is it. Western Sydney, I've had such a poor season. And I wonder when the scrutiny is going to come on Barbell. Everyone's saying, oh, give him another season, let it be his squad. It already is his squad. He's already brought in so many players. Now he's going to turf them out again. It's talk that Balmihan might be going to City next season, which I think would be a very unimaginative signing. I know he's got Tekkers, but and his wife is, oh, my God. But so he'd be good value,
There's also chat about.
But he does no defensive work at all. He's so lazy. He's unbelievable. And he's so fragile as well. I just think City Football Group, with the money they've got, should be aiming for the Anderson Taliskas of this world.
They're also looking at Rolly Bonavats here as well.
Oh.
Basically the same bloke.
Why do they think that the solution to a poor season is to sign all of the underperforming Western Sydney players who've just finished third bottom?
When they're about to turf their coach.
That's crazy. Absolutely insane.
Well, at least you know that they won't be boringly defensive next season if they get Bomihan and
I'll just bring Bonavats Van Skip back if you're going to do that. Just play all-out attack. You know, you can have another 5-4 game against Perth Glory when you go down to an Andy Keogh brace.
Yeah. It was this Sixers set now, isn't it? So Newcastle are now.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah.
Glenn Moss played really, really well, but it wasn't enough against Perth on the weekend. Magic pass from Diego Castro, I have to say.
He's a magician.
And Ivan Franjic, I think, is one of the underrated A-League all-time players. I think he might be the right back in the all-time A-League team. I haven't really thought about it, but I suspect he'd be in the
future. He'd have to be in the conversation.
No, he's definitely in the conversation. I think when you're wearing Melbourne Victory tinted glasses, he's just been a very unlikable guy. No one's ever rated him.
I've always, had good dealings with him here at FNI. He's good. Mm. He talks well. He gives it to the fans a little bit, but it's all part of the theatre.
We need more of those players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even like, Jamison, I love to hate him, obviously, as a Vuk fan, but he's good fun. The banter is there. I think you need that kind of player to generate some excitement and talking points as well. Yeah, exactly. I like the big characters, and you can't have totally sanitized football.
No.
In the worst kept secret in Australian football, Rudan is leaving Phoenix. He's going all the way out to Cardinia Park.
Taking his talents to
Tarnik.
Yeah.
Apparently it's to do with his family being in Sydney. I don't see how moving to Melbourne helps that. But
we don't have to get passports.
Has he been building the whole Western United squad this whole season while also managing Wellington? Do you think he's been targeting and profiling players?
He has to have been.
Otherwise, it makes no sense.
It's not possible that he hasn't been involved. It's not possible. They couldn't just be signing blokes without his say so. They've known for ages. They even have they have an assistant in place for him as well. It's been
months. Like 3 months people have been talking about this. Have they got like backroom staff that have been taking the
They've got the head of the Bentley Greens, what's his name? Anastasiadis, Anastasiadis. He has great NPL knowledge and so forth.
Rudan's been picking the squad for sure.
You got to imagine that that's the case. I think the director of football is Steve Horvat, he would have had some role in it as well. But if the coach isn't signing off on it, and I'd be a little bit annoyed if I was Wellington. Hopefully they're getting some compensation out of this because he had a 2-year contract. And that club could be going down the tubes any minute now.
Exactly. And they've become relevant. They're finally relevant. Unfortunately, they've had a couple of shocking performances, but they're in the finals. He did unbelievable things at that club.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Well, like you said, made them relevant. They're in the finals. They're made him hard to beat. He's used this as a shop window for himself. And I mean, fair play, he's now gotten a job in Australia straight away.
Fair play to him. He had the kahunas to take the job that was like one of the worst jobs in world football. Like it was.
It looked like a poison chalice. Yeah.
It's just like, wow, he's gone from, where was he at? Sydney United. He's doing NPL to taking that job. It was just like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. You're almost like, whoa, is that a step forward?
Yeah.
I know it's technically international. Do you reckon that he'd said to them, like, I won't officially sign until you show me you're serious by getting Connor Payne?
Well, that's the thing. They've brought in two former Vuk players, Connor Payne and the lesser-known Josh Cavallo, who's in the youth system. First player to go from Victory to City to Western United and hasn't got a game for any of them yet. Apparently he's a good young talent, but I can't see how two Melbourne clubs have turfed him and he hasn't got a first-team look in and he's some superstar. They've also signed Jonathan Aspro from Central Coast, so they're getting off-cuts. And I know that's the reality when you're a new A-League team, but I haven't seen anything from Western United so far to really tell me that this group of people who's running things is serious and is going to make a big splash in the A-League next season, especially when they've got this nightmare scenario until the new stadium is built, which, you know, obviously all the 3D projections look great, but playing in Geelong and also going to have to host some other games in like Ballarat. I think it's going to be a rough couple of years for that club.
Yeah, it's not going to be an ideal setup, and it's especially concerning given the relative safety of having a stadium ready to roll was, you know, the more secure stadium deal was one of the big selling points. So it's, yeah.
Very, very shonky.
Incredible that they got off the ground without actually having spoken to Hedinia Park. They just said, we'll play there. And they were like, hang on.
The Team 11 bid was derailed by not having a stadium, which, you know, may well have been funded by the state government. Anyway, we'll leave that for there. Take a short break and come back with a preview of Friday night's away game at Adelaide United here on For Vuck's Sake. Lines as seen on the block and Married at First Sight. Located in Tullamarine, Ambrosia specialise in weddings, functions and corporate events. Ambrosia also offer floral workshops, which make great gift ideas. Book a consultation for your next event by calling Leanne on 9338 3609, or you can contact her online at ambrosiafloraldesigns.com. Mention FVS to receive a discount off your next booking. Gentlemen, I believe we have a talkback caller on the line who's coming back from Adelaide at the moment. Ryan, welcome to FVS.
G'day, Josh. How you going, mate?
Yeah, really well, mate. What have you got for us?
I just wanted to give you a quick call. I went up to the game at against Sydney where we won 2-1 up at Cogara there. And I remember on the podcast, everybody hailing Jorg Niedermeyer as like, not quite Del Pierre, but, you know, probably our second best import defender for a long time. Fast forward to now and he seems almost on the outer. What's changed?
I think physically he hasn't been in the best shape, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that's held him back. Also, he seems tentative about his body sometimes going in for challenges, and he's got a kind of slow turn of pace. I think that's been the biggest problem. I think he has pedigree, but he just doesn't seem physically quite on the money, and I think that's really seen him suffer this season, and his inconsistency has been exposed.
I think he panics on the ball a bit and even occasionally off the ball. I reckon a lot of Victory fans really jumped off him with that red card in the derby.
Yeah.
Massively that undisciplined.
That'll do you in. A red card, costly one in a derby in the first few minutes. A tackle he didn't need to make as well.
Yeah.
I think when you're going to put faith and visa spots into visa players, they need to come in and play a level above what we've got here. And I just don't think... I do remember the performance that you're alluding to, Ryan, and it was quite assured by him then, but he hasn't really taken it up a level from there. I think he's only progressively I think he's stagnated and then his body's just unreliable. So we're not going to see a second season from him, I don't believe. Or is he a one-year contract?
I think it's only 1 year.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see your go around for another season.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, he hasn't hit the heights Del Pierre did. He has had excellent games, but he hasn't put them together. Like that, the Perth away win, he was imperious. But I still haven't seen anything to suggest to me that he and Deng or he and Donachie should be the centre-back pairing rather than Donachie and Deng. So,
I mean, it makes sense to me. It's hard to back a guy in when he's injured and gets himself sent off in within 15 minutes in a derby.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, as we said, Visa player, maybe if he was a, you know, a young Australian centre back or something, people would have a little bit more sympathy for his errors and so forth. But he did score on the weekend. He had a good game away to Perth. And I wonder, you know, injuries permitting, if come a grand final, potentially away to Perth when victory is sitting deep and he doesn't have to turn and run, you know, he could have another one of those displays and be important for us. Even regardless of that, I wouldn't be holding on to him after this season.
I apologise to yourselves and the listeners for the noise, but Adelaide Airport, very noisy, trying to get out of here.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you so much for the call, and be sure to join us again at any time when we are on a Monday here at FNR.
See you, lads. Have a good night.
Thanks, buddy.
That was Ryan calling in from Adelaide Airport. And speaking of Adelaide, I believe we have a ticket giveaway that just arrived in the FNR mailbox today.
Yeah, did that arrive?
Yes, it has.
So we had a punter hit us up on the FVS Messenger.
Jonathan Troy is his name, very kindly offering to give away a couple of tickets to the Good Friday away game at Hindmarsh. Two adult tickets and one concession. So anybody, get in the FVS inbox and claim those if you're going away to Adelaide, because I guess first in, best dressed.
Yeah, if you don't have match tickets yet, call us up now or hit us up on our social media and come and claim them. So there's three tickets, two adult, one concession. And thank you, boy, Jonathan Troy.
I'll also offer you the exclusive opportunity to buy me one beer, because I'll be in Adelaide. I'll be at the game. And, yes, the beer will be of my choosing and you'll be paying.
Surely it's a Coopers.
Or maybe you can do some FES Facebook Live from the terrace.
Whoa. I'll get back to you on that. Like I said, well lit.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Now, looking ahead to this game, Lee Broxham is in line to play his 350th game in all competitions for the Victory.
Yes, I heard that earlier. Bonkers. That's an incredible stat.
That is bonkers. I think it was Ivan Stragan who came through with that one. And credit to him, because that is unbelievable. A guy who started in the boot room. Literally
the boot room,
Kit man polishing shoes. It's something out of a Hollywood movie. And I think that all those people who come out and slam Lee Broxham as being, you know, the epitome of everything that's wrong with the A-League.
They're wrong.
His mediocre play. They don't understand
what
Lee Broxham brings. He's not a Trequartista. He's not going to bang in goals from 30 yards. He is the utility player extraordinaire who can fill any role and will do a reliable job. And that's why he's a club legend for being able to compete at a high level for so long.
Preach, brother, preach. They really do need to... once he retires, have on a Victory Medal night a Best Clubman award and name it after Broxham or something that. They need to pay homage to him in a special way. He is an absolute don.
They should rename the boot room the Lee Broxham boot room.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Or name a bar at Amy Park the Lee Broxham bar, something like that.
I wouldn't say no to
the DJ Brox bar.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe one with him cradling all three of his triplets.
Yeah, next to Puskas.
Yeah. Or cradling, maybe just remodel the Puskas trophy. Yeah. Get it the hammer and chisel out, because that one's a shocking likeness.
Yeah. Are you going to, like a likeness of him with all three triplets while simultaneously like making a headed clearance?
Yeah,
I
that's
think
the one.
The way to go.
Beautiful.
If you can get him marking Emil Heskey out of the game into a statue, I'm not sure how you do that artistically. But, yep, important game for us. Adelaide also battling for finals spots, and Marco Kerr's not going on beyond this season, but they're having a little bit of a resurgence under him. Stamatolopoulos, I think he's still suspended for this one, and Blackwood I'm never too worried about up front. But, you know, defensively speaking, and also with Ben Halloran, gave us a lot of problems at Hindmarsh last time.
Yeah, they set up pretty well against us last time out over there. They had us 2-0. 2-0, I think they beat us, actually. Mm. And they looked like they had us completely figured out. So hopefully Muscat's learnt from that and will set up a little bit smarter this time around.
So you're going to Adelaide, that's known as a bit of a sleepy city, on Good Friday.
Yep. Yeah, well,
I wonder how much is going to be open.
Yeah, well, we've been lucky enough that our man on the inside over there's booked us a pub at about 12:30 on the day, so we know something's open.
Excellent, excellent. And I think Victory will just about get this done.
Yeah, I feel good about us.
I'm going to say a 2-1. What do you reckon, buds? Scoreline wise?
Yeah, I think 2-1. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. 2-1, late goal winner. Rudy and all the lit fans going spare in that little corner that they stick us in at Hindmarsh.
Yeah. If the Fox Sports camera isn't cutting straight to a very inebriated Rudy after that goal, I think the production has got something wrong.
We'll hit up Matt Coleman, yeah.
That's going to be a huge travelling support. So.
Yeah. It's been a I've never actually been to a single Vuk away game, and I've always wanted to go to Hindmarsh for this one exactly.
So have I'm you never travelled?
No, I never travelled.
Oh wow!
It's a good venue by all accounts.
Yeah,
oh, it's best.
Mm.
The best.
Yeah, fantastic. And also tomorrow night, I suppose we have to mention 7:30 kickoff at Amy.
Is it tomorrow?
Guangzhou?
I thought it was next week.
23rd, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, have I got this wrong? I thought it was tomorrow night.
The first dot point is, does anybody even care anymore? And
clearly not, because we don't even know the date of the game. But I even in light of the Chinese teams coming here and not really doing that well, we've beaten them with the likes of Jai Ingham scoring goals. I can't see a result out of this one.
No.
I think when we beat SIPG, George Howard got the player of the match.
Yeah, that's a wild game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is next week. My apologies. Yeah, 23rd is the game. And I think it's going to be tough to even consider getting a point out of this one, considering how we had our asses handed to us away from home in China.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I can't see us. I think we'll just go through the motions on this one and pretty much be happy with a 3-0 loss.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we do actually have a week off next week for Easter Monday, so we won't be here. But in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back here at FNR Studios reviewing a whole bunch of games. We'll have a huge slate to go over. And as always,
Mon the Vuk.
Mon.